Getting there? You're already crying. We haven't even started yet. All right, praise the Lord. All right, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are indeed mighty in this place, Lord. And that you do miracles, Lord, that we don't even comprehend or understand, Lord. That you meet us in this place, that you transform situations and lives, just like that widow in Zarephath, Lord. And Lord, as we come here this morning, Lord, I am praying that you would indeed meet us, Lord, transform our situations. Lord, that your word would come alive in our hearts. Lord, that we would indeed be transformed, Lord, not just to watchers, but to doers, Lord. We wouldn't be playing a game, Lord, that our lives would be lived on display, Lord. We would find fullness in your word, fullness in your spirit, Lord, and you guide us, Lord, into great things. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen. Amen. You are glad to be here, amen?
Amen.
And what are you two doing? You're just watching. Are you getting well taken care of here today? Anything else we can do for you? Mike, you get a soda for these guys up here? We want to make sure that you are well taken care of. Now, we are on a series called the Reality of the Resurrection. Thank you. Mike's doing a great job. Amen. A little round of applause for Mike. Yes. We are in a series called The Reality of the Resurrection. And we are talking about changes. That Jesus, the reality changes everything. That the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, that has transformed history. And that in fact, Jesus came to make changes. Can I get a witness on that? Our president came with a slogan or a motto, changes you can believe in. Change you can believe in. You remember that? Well, Jesus came with changes that we could see. Amen? Changes that we could grab onto. How did that work? Well, he came born as a child that you could see. He came and he lived a life. They were choices that you could see. Lived his life among the disciples, led them, and did miracles that people could see. He was arrested. He was beaten. They were bruises that you could see. He was put on trial. False witnesses came. They were liars that you could see. They took him and they crucified him and hung him naked on a cross. And it was a sacrifice that you could see. We have a Lord that we can see. And even more than that, we have a Lord that we can follow. Amen. We took a look last week, John chapter 21. Things kind of coming unraveled a little bit as Jesus is trying to put something together with his disciples. We see that Jesus is trying to work it out, trying to make things work as we transition here. He says he calls a meeting. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. He said, "Hey, we got to work this out, guys. I want you to go up to this mountain. We're going to talk about what needs to have happen." And Jesus gave them the Great Commission. All authority has been on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples of all nations. I want you to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And that commission was, the Great Commission, was more than just for the disciples, who are no longer called disciples, but were called apostles because they were now sent by the Lord. Are you tracking with me? You see, that commission is more than just for them. That commission is also for us. And that commission is for you. For you. The Lord has more than just being served for you. The Lord has an opportunity for you to serve. That is the response of some. Discipleship on display. It's going to be real, or you're just playing a game. Where is it at for you? How great is the cost? That's what we're going to take a look at today. Plan for redemption. We started off, got off track a little while, started off with Adam. Amen? Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Mike, you've been ruling over the fish of the sea lately? Mike heads up our fishing ministry. It's nice to have that dominion, right, Mike? Having dominion over the fish, that's a good thing, amen? He's going, yeah, I haven't been exercising that of late. Been going a lot of fishing, not a whole lot of catching. He says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And the plan of God, the program of God, started with Adam. And it was a good plan. Maybe you've had good plans. Jeff, you got good plans? A lot of our plans start off good. A little round of applause for our actors. Yes, thank you very much. Well done, well done. Yes, we all have many plans that start off pretty well. And this one started off pretty well. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were tending the garden, and in some way, some kind of funky, naked Christian camp. I don't know what it is, like a Christian camp. They were running around with no clothes on, tending in the garden. And they were not just tending the garden, they were tending the whole planet. But then, you know, as time went on, it got derailed by the devil. He lied on them, and he stole their position of authority. And stole their position of dominion. That is why he is currently called the prince of this world. All right? Do you track with me? We got the plan of God derailed by the action of the devil, but our Lord came to make things right. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus came, and at the end of his ministry here, all authority given to me. And you might think that God was just out there handing out chunks of authority and that Jesus just got a big old chunk. And it's not like that. The authority that Jesus received was a result of the work that he did in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. See, so many of us think that we are going to have life just handed to us on a platter, that somebody owes us something. You know what I'm talking about? There is a pervasive feeling in our culture that we are owed something. And so as we read this, oh yeah, Jesus lucked out. He's got a big old bunch. It was Jesus' life. He surrendered. He surrendered his divine nature and came and was born as a child. That little baby back there. Maddie, that little boy looks so good. I'm talking to you, Maddie. You put him on your shoulder, sometimes he'd throw up all over your back, huh? Never? Oh, I've heard babies do that. No, that one does. Yeah, it says there's another one back there. He spits all over me. Jesus probably would have done that. To be creator of the universe, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal for eternity, and to surrender a portion of that to come and live, that's a great surrender. Amen. That was a great sacrifice. And so as Jesus says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me, it was a result of his life. Because not only does he surrender much, but he lived and made choices and never sinned in his life. And then he went willingly to humiliating death on the cross. And so as he said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me, it is a result of his work on the cross. That gave him unique position in all history. John talks about it in Revelation chapter 5. You can read it. It is tremendous. I have a section of it for you. And John, seeing a vision from God, says, "And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under earth could open the scroll or even look inside it." And this is John speaking here. "And I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and unlock or look inside of it." And the plan of God had come to a screeching halt. And John says that he wept and he wept and he wept. And an angel comes up to him. One of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah." We're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness on that? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. The plan of God, the program of God may progress because of who Jesus is. And he is who he is because he surrendered a portion of his divine nature to be born as a child. He was raised and sinned not, was lied upon, taken, beaten, and crucified and killed. And on the third day, raised from the dead. And he is unique in history. Today, we celebrate his uniqueness, the communion table. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. You go ahead and start passing those out, Mike. If you've not been with us for communion before, just take these elements and hold them, if you would, in your hand. We celebrate the goodness of God at the communion table, the uniqueness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, Paul writes, he says, you know, as you come to this table, don't do it lightly. That you should examine your heart. That you should examine yourself. Say, "Lord, what do you have for me today? What message do you have for me this morning, Lord? How might I be transformed by your uniqueness in history, by your position in history, by your position in heaven, Lord? How might I line myself up on you? Because I don't want to be playing a game. I want to be part of your program, Lord. I want to be part of your plan for redemption and restoration, Lord. I want to be part of your team. Speak to my heart, Lord. I can be lined up on you." So as these elements are being passed out, and they are the symbols of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his body and his blood given for you, just pause for a minute. Just ask that question, "Lord, how can I better line up on you? How can I focus on you, Lord?" Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. For the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so as we come to this table, figuratively this morning, we hold these emblems in our hands. The body, or the bread signifying the body, We do this in remembrance of the life and the message of our Lord Jesus Christ and the impact that it has upon each one of us. And we hold the symbols of liberty and the symbols of freedom in our hands. And so we do not come to this table, this opportunity lightly and say, Lord, guide me, judge me, transform me, and call me as you did the disciples. Lord, I want to be part of your program. No more playing the games, Lord. As you come to the Lord and you hold the emblems of his sacrifice for you, the emblems that make his life unique in all time. Not his crucifixion, but the sinlessness of his life. There were many that were crucified, but only one who was without sin. Lord, we come before you this morning. We hold these elements, Lord, and I am humbled. I'm humbled by who you were, Lord, who you are, and who you will always continue to be, Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, Lord. You call me, Lord, to be bigger than what I am. Lord, I lay down the garbage in my life, Lord, and I put my eyes on you, Lord, and put a focus on you. Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Let us partake of the bread of the Lord. On that same night, which says, in the same way, after supper, he took a cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant, the new contract, the new agreement in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we do wait today for his return. But until he does, we remember the nail marks in his hands, the sword slash in his side, the sacrifice he made that we might sit here today set free from sin. Lord, we come before you, Lord. I am humbled, Lord, by your sacrifice on the cross. Maybe you sit here this morning and you are just shaken. You are thinking, I am not right. I am not right. And as you hold this cup, you can say, Lord, I am not right. I participate in this in an unworthy manner. But Lord, today I ask you to come and cleanse me, Lord. Make me new. I don't understand it all, but Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. And as that new covenant, that new deal, that new contract he would make with you would set you free from sin and bring you into the program and the plan of God. And we'll teach you about that here. If you want that, you don't have it. You can say, Lord, I take this cup and it means something wholly new and different to me today, as I am remembering your death on the cross that set me free from sin. Let us partake of the cup of Christ. Hallelujah. God is good. Can I get a witness on that? You will pass these cups to the aisle. That gentleman will come and serve you. Wow, I almost feel like we could just be done. But we're not done. Oh, here we go. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. All right. Responding to the Lord. Responding with worship. How many of you feel just like worshiping the Lord right now as we take a look at what he did on the cross? Amen? There is a response of worship. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. The proper response is worship.
Get over my right page.
We've been studying for worship about a month, maybe 6 weeks on Wednesday nights. There are many aspects of worship. Worship, the word comes from the old English word worth-ship, to ascribe worth to. And perhaps the greatest aspect of worship is humility. That as I understand who Christ is and what he did on the cross, he is lifted up and I am diminished. And that is why we bend a knee, or that is why we bow our heads to him, because we show humility to Him. We show submission to Him. We show subservience to Him because of His unique position in all time. Because of His birth, life, death, crucifixion, and resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Part of the program. Worship. There are some who will not worship. There are some who will not bend a knee, bow their head. There is an alternate response. There are some who doubt. There are some who hesitate. And can you imagine the dichotomy of that meeting as Jesus is meeting with the disciples on this mountainside, and some are in worship and some are thinking, oh, I don't think so. They're just sitting there, you know, having a wheat thin. This is not for me. I don't want to be part of this program. I don't know if I even want to get on board with that. And you know what? I don't think it was a problem with their eyes. Because we've been talking about problems of recognizing Christ post-resurrection. But it's not so much a problem with their eyes as a problem with their hearts. And we are surrounded by people who have problems with their hearts today. That they will not bow their heart to the Lord and say, no, I am my own boss. I am my own king. I make my own decisions. They are not part of the program. Because if you won't follow, you can't be part of the program of the Lord. Amen? Responding to the Lord, two things we're going to talk about. Responding with worship and responding with work. Responding with effort. Jesus says, you're going to worship me. He says, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Part of the program. Disciples are working for the Lord. Jesus gives us a list. Quite a list. It says we're supposed to make disciples. Disciples, being a disciple, making disciples part of the program of God. Being a follower, being a learner. And disciples, once you become surrendered to the Lord, you get baptized. We'll baptize you right up here. The water's cold. Right, Aaron? Aaron's in charge of baptizing. It's cold. We ain't got no hot water back there. Some people think, oh, it's too cold to get baptized. Yeah, Jesus hung on a cross for you. You don't want to get in cold water for Him. Disciples, part of the program. Baptism, part of the program. Baptism, mark of a believer. Another mark of the believer is surrender. He says, teach them to obey. Everybody say obey for me, would you?
Obey.
Teach them to obey. Now, you like learning how to obey? You like learning obedience? Is that a popular topic in our culture? Oh, how many advertisements do you see telling you how good it is for you to obey? Obey your thirst, right? Do what you want. Just do it. You know, we're here for you. Hey, is there anything else we can get for you? Are we doing okay for you? I can do the soda. Yeah, get this guy a soda. We're supposed to be on the flip end of that. Teach them to obey. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? My question for you is, are you obedient? Are you submissive? Are you surrendered to the Lord? Because all those things are part of the program. And you'd be thinking, get me out of this place. Just like them. I can just find me a new church where they don't talk about obedience and submission. I want to go to the fooling around church. I want to go to the let's get high on Saturday night church. I want to go to the church that's fine to go down to the casino. Well, that ain't this church, folks. Oh, that's Richard. Okay. People of the book are people of obedience. We are working the program. Amen? Now, first thing on the list. Go! Get busy! Some people just want to sit on the couch. Some people just want to watch everybody else do the work. Oh, I'm just watching. Oh, really? God's got more for you than that. Well, I'm going to go to the watching church. They're out there, folks. They're out there. First thing you need to do as a disciple of Christ is engage. Get engaged into the program of God. And it will cause you, it will force you, you must move your feet. Theoretically, Cody does not need to move his feet because he's got wheels. And he can just go wheeling around into the plan of God. I don't know where Balthazar is today. He's got a wheelchair too. Theoretically, he don't have to move his feet. But he's going to move his body. Amen? See, you're going to be part of the program of God. You want to be busy for God. I don't know how many of you have been to my house. But on my back patio, it's kind of like my area. If you've seen my office, my area at home looks like my office here. And it's tad cluttered. And I'll send my child, either one, doesn't matter. They'll both respond the same way. Go clean the patio. Could be a punishment. Could be a reward. Hey, I'll pay you. Go clean it. Mom's coming home. She's going to kill me. Now, on my patio is a table and four chairs. There's a barbecue. There is a Bowflex. And there is a treadmill. Now, if you know about any of those things, all of those things are like magnets for clutter. Right? Pieces of paper can be underneath them. Crud can be all over the place. And I'm like, go out there and clean the patio. And I'm drawing this as an illustration for disciples being busy in the kingdom of God. Okay? Because my children will go out and clean the patio. And I kid you not, their first attempt, they will clean the edge. They will not even move the chairs around the table. And they will have the audacity to come back and say, all done, Dad. And I will say, how about the chairs? Oh, you mean under the table too? Yeah. Now, the barbecue's got wheels on it. I'm sure they don't know that because, you know, it's kind of got like a little cage around. It's like, no need to clean under there. Nobody can see. So when it comes to your role as a disciple, are you ready to just get in there and get busy? Do extra? Ladies are going to have a cleaning day coming up. What was the day we had on that? The 29th. Deep cleaning. I have no clue what deep cleaning is. But there's ladies around here that do. I'm happy they're here. I don't have to know about it. Are you involved in the program of God? Or are you just playing a game? Because there's too much going on in the church these days. Amen? It's getting quiet. Okay. It's like, man, I wish you would have quit with communion. Would have been so good. All right. The details of the program. Oh, please, don't give us details. No, no, no. He says, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is involved. That's a good part. Amen? Jesus is close to you. Jesus is involved. The Lord has taken his focus off of the nation of Israel and put it onto the church. Guess where we're sitting today? The church. Why is it called the church? Because we've got church on the outside of the building, but also mainly it's because you comprise the church. The church is a living, breathing entity. Paul maybe describes it the best by saying it is the body of Christ and Christ is the head. And so as we talk about the church age, we talk about the proximity of Jesus to the church. Now he's going to come back and get his kids later. The nation of Israel, talk about that in the book of Tribulation. The Great Tribulation. Where two or three come together in my name, there I am with you. You want to have a little, last night we had a prayer meeting, had a lot more than three people. And Jesus was in our midst. Tell you what, come into this place in Jesus' name. Jesus will meet you here this morning. He will speak to your heart. He will give you stuff that you can't get anywhere else. And you walk out of here, you're going to be transformed. Two or three are gathered in my name, I'm right there with you. He says, you ask anything in my name, and you have it. What about that Cadillac I was asking for? Where's Johnny? Johnny don't even have a Cadillac anymore. You used to have Cadillac after Cadillac after Cadillac. God let me down on the Cadillac. Well, you might not be asking according to his name. Can I get a witness on that? I tell you what, you line up on the program of God, you line up on the plan of God, and you start praying according to that plan, there are limitless resources coming at you. Amen? Now, I don't know, maybe you're living on less. Maybe you are living on less. Last night, board meeting, everybody on staff took a 20% pay cut. I'm on staff. I'm not even worried. God's got my back. God's got my resources. Jesus is involved. Part of the program. Part of the plan. Details of the program. There is power. I'm jumping over to the end of Mark. Okay? These signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will accompany disciples. These signs will accompany those who are working the program. Who are working the plan. In my name, they will drive out demons. Oh, that's so untidy. That sounds kind of funny to me. Sorry, it's in the book, folks. It's like them naked Christians. I mean, Adam and Eve. No. Don't tell my wife about that. She wasn't here earlier. Bugs her. In my name, they will drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. Oh, that seems kind of threatening and challenging. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. Oh, get out of here. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Well, take that one. The church is a conduit for the power of God. All power and all authority has been given unto Jesus Christ. Amen? And he is using the church as a way to disseminate that power to a lost and dying world. And he's looking for disciples that would step out in power and authority and might and confidence and obedience and surrender and submission. And says, I got you hooked up, child. But there's too many of us walking on the way going, oops, lost your nickel, God. Oh, I only got this little bit of bag of flour left. Not enough for you, God. Surrender, submission, obedience. Marks of discipleship. Spiritual power, the ability to cast out demons. I'll tell you what, there's demons out there, folks, and they are messing with you just for kicks. Jesus says you can just kick them right on down the street. They got no hold on you. You got nothing to worry. He said, exorcist movies? Get the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. All authority, all power. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is passing that power out to you. First was spiritual power, casting out demons. Second thing, he's talking about speaking in tongues. Two forms of this. Number one is a private prayer language. Edifies and strengthens you. It is like spiritual steroids. You can read about this in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 9, 10. I'm sorry, 8, 10, and 19. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 10, 19, and 8. We're going to talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit in the next couple of weeks. We're going to do Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. We conclude our series on the resurrection. Two types of this speaking in tongues, private prayer language that edifies and builds you up. Second one is a public gift that is for unbelievers. Did you hear that, Marge? Bible tells us it is given for unbelievers and when interpreted in a public setting, functions as prophecy in the Word of God, impacting an unbeliever's heart and a believer's heart as well. Maybe you've heard Larry bring an utterance or Sharon bring an utterance or something like that. Prophetic utterance that the Lord would speak to your heart. Those are the signs of believers. Those are the signs of disciples. Picking up snakes and drinking poison. You read about Paul on the island of Malta in Acts chapter 28. Picked up a viper, it stung him, and all the natives were looking around waiting for him to drop dead. And when I read that, I read that as you are in the program of God and on the plan of God, that there is supernatural physical protection to your situation. That God will come in and have your back. Signs of discipleship, signs of believers. Am I going too long? Ready to go? Last one is healing. We pray for healing. Pray for healing last night. Pray for healing right now. Why? Bible says, any of you sick, come forward. Have the elders anoint you with oil. And you will be made well. You will be forgiven sins. Our God is a healer. His people are supposed to be healers. Why? All authority has been given heaven and earth to Jesus. And he's passing it out through the church. We are to be able to cast out demons. We are to be able to speak in tongues. We are to be able to pick up snakes and drink deadly poison. We are to be able to heal the sick. It's all part of the program. So are you part of the program? Or are you just playing a game? There's a lot of game playing going on. If you're playing the game, you don't got to submit. You don't got to obey. But you'll know, because there are signs. You might be sitting here and say, I'm a believer. I have communion. I believe that Jesus came. I believe that Jesus lived. I believe that Jesus had a sinless life. I believe that he was arrested. I believe he was crucified. I believe he was raised from the dead. Well, do you believe he has a claim on your life? What? Does he get to come and speak in your life and say, Eddie, I want this from you. Larry, I want this from you. No, that's not the God I believe in. This is more like a Santa. I just watch, and all the kind of good stuff comes to me. You can tell if you're a believer or not. Why? Because there's signs that accompany the believer's life. It says, those who believe, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place on their hands on the sick, and they will get well. Does that describe you? Because these are the signs that accompany those that believe. I believe! It's not that much. That's kind of messy. Do you believe enough to obey? Do you believe enough to submit? Because if you believe, you'll be a disciple. And he says, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'll be with you all along the way. It kind of makes me uncomfortable telling people about Jesus. I'd rather go to the rock. I'd rather go to some big old church where I can just hide. You don't ask me to do these hard things. You can find one. But you won't be a disciple. And you won't lead a transforming life. And everybody around you will stay the same. And there will be no change in you. So are you part of the program? Or are you just playing a game? Let's pray. Lisa, would you come on up, please? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. The Great Commission, Lord, it is a heavy load. It is a heavy load. Great Granddaddy Adam messed it all up, and it's still messed up, Lord. You came to make it right on the cross, Lord, and you use me, Lord, to continue making it right. And you pour out your power through me, Lord. Your authority through me, Lord. And Lord, for every person in here that is a disciple, Lord, that believe in who you are and what you do, that your work on the cross had some impact on, an eternity for them, Lord. That you do a work for them. And that you do a work through them, Lord. And that there is supernatural power that is available through them, Lord. That there is healing, Lord, through them, Lord. That there is power to cast out demons through them, Lord. And they don't see this garbage going on around them anymore, Lord. Because all authority and all power reigns in them, Lord, from you, Lord, and in your church, Lord. And we do not have to sit around and look at this garbage anymore. There's more than change we can believe in, and we want change that we can see and grab onto, Lord. And I thank you that on the cross, Lord, that you changed me, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you changed for the opportunity for change for every person in this room. Maybe you come in here this morning and just quite frankly, you're freaking out. What is this? I did not sign up for this. And right now the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, no, you're finally just getting a clear picture of it. Been the plan all along. Adam messed it up. I knew he was going to mess it up. I hung on a cross and I sent out 12 guys minus one. Make disciples of all nations and you're it. And I'm sending you out. And I want you to make a disciple of your children. I want you to make a disciple of your spouse. I want you to make a disciple of your friend. I want you to go into your school. I want you to go into your workplace. And I want you to live for me because I died for you. And that's the deal we got. I died for you and you'll live for me. And if you want to be part of the program, that's what it is. No more playing around. You're here this morning. And as if the Lord is speaking right to your heart. No more messing around. No more playing around. Time to get with the program. You're saying, Lord, that's me, that's me, that's me. I am so messed up. I am so tore up. Could you use me, Lord? He says, those 11 guys on that mountainside were no different than you. They were messed up guys, and I fixed them. And I'll fix you. You got to surrender your life to me. The only way it works. Obedience, surrender, and submission. And I'll give you a new life. Nobody's looking around this morning. But the Holy Spirit is just piercing your heart. You feel so small. You feel so weak, and you feel so bad. And right now, the hand of the Lord reaches down from heaven and says, you can come with me. Nobody's looking around. But the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking right to your heart. You just raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm so messed up. I'm so sorry. Save me, Lord. Save me. Somebody here would just say, that's me, back here, right there, there and there. Somebody else say, here I am. You put your hand in right there, yeah? Really? Here I am, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, the opportunity to obey. Want to do more than watch. Want to do more than play games, Lord. Want to be part of the plan. Want to be part of the program. Lisa's going to sing a song. We're going to worship like those guys on the side of the mountain did. You're done with your doubt. Come up. I'll pray with you. Be the start of something new.